Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live 5 days a week from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. For gorgeous. It's even Fukushima irradiated. One very special sponsor, even. I think this might be the first time we've really had a sponsor come on the show. Ish. Can't quite remember, but his name's Dudley, and he's from Pro Stores Direct. Dudley, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Good to be here.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about Pro Stores Direct and what you guys do?
Okay. Pro Stores Direct specialize in survival products, storable foods, survival gear. We've been trading since 2008, started on eBay. You might notice by my accent, I'm actually a Brit. We are an American company, to explain that. My job is I deal with the marketing and, getting our company on shows like yourself. And as you know, Vinny, I spoke to you a while ago and you twisted my arm and I agreed to be here. And I'm happy to be here, and I appreciate being invited along. But I'm not normally a media guy. I'm basically a sort of marketing guy. Marketing doesn't always mean the guy that gets on the radio and does this kind of thing, but I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Well, that's my job, really.
Okay.
All right, so everybody who's listening to this show should understand and probably know the drill. Storable food. You know, there's a bunch of people during that... what was that? Hurricane Sandy. And I found it very interesting how Sandy Hook happened after Hurricane Sandy. But
yeah,
during that hurricane, there was like food stores out. You know, because everybody's like a panic monkey in the United States when there's a disaster coming. Have you noticed that? The food and the water and everything like that, everybody just stocks up. And, you know, you go in and you're trying to get something and everything's freaking sold out. And in the event of major disasters, or even in the event of some kind of major economic collapse, this is actually really a reality in the United States these days. Global supply chain, which I found very interesting. A friend of mine, I think Mike Harris, used to be involved intimately in supply chains and manufacturing and all of that kind of stuff. He said that basically supermarkets have only got maybe 2-3 days tops before they're just empty. If the supply chain is disrupted in any way, shape, or form, that can be because they can't, they don't have enough money to ship it, or the products just aren't getting there, or there's some kind of war or disruption of some kind. You know, there's infinite amounts of things that can happen alongside the natural disaster front. So really, if you are going to be wise about it, it is actually a good idea to get yourself something storable, at least in some form of a quantity. And you know, New Zealand Civil Defence even recommends that you have 3 to 4 days of stored food available. And as far as you've told me, Dudley, Pro Stores Direct is basically one of the cheapest out there and one of the highest quality.
We'll recommend that the quality is among the highest. We're doing mostly Mountain House premium storable foods, and at the moment, roughly 90 to 100% of our orders are arriving to the customer within 90 days of leaving the Mountain House factory. That's Mountain House, based in Oregon, the market leader. Going back to your point of supermarkets having like a 2 to 3 day supply chain, that doesn't really account for panic buying. And panic buying kicks in very, very quickly. So, two to three days is in like an ideal world. In reality, what has to happen is within 24 hours of a disaster hitting, then the panic buying kicks in, and supermarkets can sell out of key things within a matter of hours. And then what you're left with is ice cream and crisps, whatever. Things like bread, frozen meats, stuff like that can get taken away within hours when a major disaster hits. So it's not even 2 to 3 days. Unless you try to live.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's also another point that I tried to raise, is what happened during hurricanes. Only there was no real disruption to the supply chain, but there was nothing in the supermarkets.
Yeah, people tend to go out and just empty the shelves. So, you know, one family will go out and just empty the complete shelf, and it gets kind of crazy. And the last place you want to find yourself in that kind of situation is competing at a supermarket to get food. So for that reason, it kind of speaks for itself. It's good to have your own supply in, yes. And it's so easy today as well. It's so easy. The company specializing in it.
Well, what kind of products do you have on here? Because it looks like you've got a bug out gear. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Dudley, are you there? The website, the new website. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
We do a lot of products. I mean, we're adding more to the website now. But to give you an idea, if you just look at one main product, we do the bug out buckets from Mountain House. And you can get a week's supply of Mountain House food. It's a real meat, Mountain House prime food product. It stores for 25 years. A week's supply is $70, $69.95 to be exact. We do free shipping across the United States on that product. That's a week's supply for one adult of one of the brand leaders in the market for $69.95 with free shipping. Now, that is one of the products at the moment that we just can't get enough of, and I'd recommend anybody to check that out. The way it works with freeze-dried food is anything cheaper than that, if it's coming from Mountain House, the chances are it's not new. What happens there is you're usually buying something that somebody has been storing, and then they're rotating their stocks for fresh stock. The problem there is, how do you know it's been stored correctly for the last 3 or 4 years, and are they selling it to you for a really good price? If it's your best mate and you trust them and they're giving you a cracking deal, like half where it costs new, I can't argue with that. For everybody else, you're looking at buying new. And when you're talking new Mountain House foods, there are a few companies out there. We are one of them. And the reason I suggest us as against our competitors is, all else being equal, we are supporting your show. If you like Vinny Eastwood, we're the guys that are, we are Pro Stores Direct, and we are supporting his show too. What can I say?
Yeah. Enough said. there's only a couple of products on here at the moment, and you contacted me a couple of weeks back and said that maybe halfway through next month or whatever you'd have your stores and everything up and running, but you've already got it going. And we've got the banner up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the Pro Stores Direct banner right there, ladies and gentlemen. So you can just go there, click on it, you have a look over the products and things like that. So we've got bug out gear, fire starters, you know, those little clicker thingies if you want to start a fire, of course. Survival kits, first aid, bug out buckets, water filters, and just general freeze-dried foods as well. Now, I was just thinking about this. The bug-out buckets there, they're $70 for a week's supply for one person. So that's like, what, $10 a day? That's actually pretty cheap, even by today's standards.
It is. It's one of the best deals out there, like I say. And just want to, the website at the moment, the way it tends to work is you want to get the foundations right. We have more products to add, but the web store is new. So you tend to build the web store and then take some time out, have a look at it, make sure the foundations are correct. There's some stuff being added. And then when the foundations are there for the actual web design, if you like, that's not actually my department. But when we're happy with that, then adding the products is the easy part. We have our product line at the moment is something like 42 separate product lines, give or take, off the top of my head.
Whoa.
So, yeah. That's who we are. How I got started in this business was actually listening to Alex Jones and hearing an advertisement for Survival Seeds, which is heirloom seeds, which we also do actually these days. But and I contacted a guy called Big John Lipscomb, an American patriot, and I started selling his heirloom seeds on American eBay a few years ago now. And that's how I got involved. And never really looked back. It's a really important business to be into. And yeah.
And also, I found there's another element of this. Apparently, the massive governments and giant corporations have been practically buying out everything in terms of freeze-dried food companies. Like, if you wanted to place a major order or something, there's a ridiculous backlog, like 6-9 months or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know if you're referring to a specific incident. A couple of years ago, the federal government placed an order with Oregon Freeze-Dry, which is one of the big manufacturers, and that totally hit the whole industry. And for a couple of months, we just couldn't supply our customers. It was a terrible time, and that was all to do with the actual federal government. And it was top secret what that $1 food for, whether it's for some massive bunker or up in the mountains somewhere or whatever was going on. But there was a period, roughly 2 years ago, when for 4 or 5 months you literally couldn't buy new freeze-dried food. Everything you saw was 5-10 year old on eBay, whatever.
Man. Well, see, it'd be interesting to find out exactly why they did that and just what kind of a quantity they were purchasing. Because, hey, how long exactly are they planning to hunker down? I mean, it's just out of control nowadays. And what I found is that global food prices are shooting up like there's no frickin' tomorrow. There's so much uncertainty in the market. Have you heard of derivatives of death?
Derivatives of death. That's a new one to me, Vinny. Derivatives of death, no.
All right. Dig this. You know how you can put a put option on an airline and after it crashes into the World Trade Center, you get a big payout after the airline price goes down? Well, derivatives of death is when you're putting a bet on the food prices going up, and as a result of heaps of people betting on the market, the food prices go up, regardless of actual market pressure. It's just a straightforward manipulation. And as a result, food prices for everybody have, like, doubled. And also, the supplies of food just worldwide are just basically dwindling. Apparently, we're like, on the verge of famine. And there's a massive drought in the middle of the United States as well now, and farmers are talking like it's the end of the fracking world.
Yeah, this is the actual squeeze on the food markets is crazy, and what's happening with a lot of the food producers a lot of the red tape that's been introduced, not to mention the GMO specter that's out there. I'm not best qualified to speak on it. I actually find it quite scary. I guess I'm in the perfect place. I'm pretty well. I have a lot of food security personally, but what's happening with the food market at the moment, it's hard to make any sense out of it. It's as if they really want a catastrophe to happen.
Well, you know what? I think it's like, if you've got your own supply of food sussed, it doesn't really matter what the global food market's doing to you anyway.
In my ideal world, I would still like to go down to the supermarket and buy what I like when I like and still go to eat when I want. So it's not an ideal scenario, but it feels a lot better being covered in that respect. So I'm not saying I really want to see that actual happening, but I believe everybody should have some kind of food security for themselves and their families, a straightforward thing, you know?
Oh, I'd also recommend people have a garden.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's not just, I mean, obviously I'm here to talk about ProStars Direct, but there's a lot of simple things. I mean, things like, there's a lot of foods you can buy that aren't going to tick every box, but it's kind of crazy not to have, like spaghetti, buying honey lasts forever if you buy natural honey, certain ways, things that you can buy from the supermarket, at least we don't sell certain items because items that are readily available, we don't really need to sell. So we actually cover the actual bigger stuff. But there's a lot of little everyday items that people should have, you know, stock up in food as well. I still recommend that you buy the kind of stuff that we're selling, obviously, but even little things that sort of fill in the gaps, sugar, salt. You know, have lots of sugar and salt at home, store it. You know, we don't sell because we can't compete with Walmart or whatever. But obviously, these are kind of things that you should also have. And given what's out in the world and what we hear about every day, it kind of plays not to take those simple steps.
Mm. All right. Dudley, thank you very much for your time and coming on the show today to tell us about ProStars Direct. You can go to the banner at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, ladies and gentlemen, or just go to prostoresdirect.com. And it should be decent enough for you. And they've even given me a little bit of a special offer. Anybody who buys something off prostores.com over the next 2 weeks, there will be a little commission coming to me to support the show. And they didn't have to do that, but they do it because they really do support me. Thanks, Dudley. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I came up with a realization, I think, yesterday. Yeah. You know how there's a lot of truth or infighting out there, how a lot of people got problems with each other and they attack each other and all of that kind of stuff, and they try to pull you into it saying you need to read this about that person and so on and so forth and blah, 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 and if you support anybody else. You know, it's just like, dude, for frack's sake, is that person going to put on a black ski mask and bust through your mother fracking door? No. Then you ain't got any real fundamental disagreements. I'm sick of it, man. Seriously. The infighting is so saturating everybody in this movement. It's really depressing. No, seriously. It's so disillusioning. Like, you get into here and it's like, dude, you're part of the truth movement. Everything's going to be all hunky-dory. We're all fighting against the new world order and a global eclectic system of scumbaggery that's manipulating everybody into killing us and vaccinating us and giving us little mercury brain joygasms. But no, it's not really that way. No, people ain't singing from the same fracking song sheet, nor should they. However, I refuse now to get involved with other people's beefs. All right, somebody personally attacks me, sure, I'll defend myself. But more often than not, I just go, yeah, you're not worth my attention. Block! And never see or hear from that person ever again. And you'll notice that those people who spend all their time attacking other people in the movement don't have very big followings. And they don't gain a following by attacking other people who have big followings. In fact, they just lose listeners. Because listeners don't want to hear about this, do you? I want to actually hear from some listeners now. The number is 218-339-8525. If you hear truthers attacking other truthers on the radio, does it make you more inclined or less inclined to listen to that person consistently? If all they're doing is attacking people within the movement, please call in 218-339-8525. I want to do some on-the-spot fracking market research on this because it just drives me nuts and I can't be bothered listening to it. You know, it's just, well, basically the way I do it is just I try to promote and or, instead of just promoting, give somebody a platform to just say whatever the hell they want. I don't really care. Everybody's got their own truth. As long as this person ain't really trying to sabotage me, stab me in the back, or do anything nasty that's pretty obviously verifiable and what have you, just leave them be. You know, I'm a member of the media. I'm not just sitting around doing nothing with my time. You know, I've got stuff to do, man. I don't have time to argue with people endlessly about other people. There's an old saying: small minds talk about people, average minds talk about events, great minds talk about ideas. I'm an ideas man. I want to hear people's ideas. I want to hear people's opinions. Namely because, hey, if you don't, you'll turn into some kind of myopic scumbaggery individual who just winds up killing and destroying anything to do with freedom, anything to do with openness and transparency. You become some kind of a two-faced bully. I've seen it happen, man. It happens all the time. And it's not worth it. It really isn't. Why make enemies when you can make friends? All right? Your enemies will make themselves known to you if they're really bad people. Then you can deal with them. But until then, I can assure you, we are surrounded on all sides by real threats, by real competition. Other people in this movement who talk about the New World Order, who talk about the vaccine conspiracy, who talk about chemtrails, are not my enemy. The ones who deny that it exists, the ones who call others conspiracy theorists, who have millions of listeners and things of that nature on the mainstream side of things, those are the enemy. Those are the gatekeepers. And until such a time as we have collectively, and I don't believe in collectivism, defeated said scumbags, then we can hash out our differences. Until then, waken people up is the goal here. You don't wake people up by making them suspicious of everybody, all right? The whole term of COINTELPRO and agents and provocateurs and everything like that, these accusations get thrown around like they're fracking jelly beans at a kid's birthday party. It's unreal. I see it every single day, and it's, oh my God. Even if it's true that one particular person is COINTELPRO or an operative or anything like that, even if it's true, they're not a target worthy of your attack because they pose far less of a threat to the movement than the big mainstream media gatekeepers, than the government, than the police state, and all of these other. At least this is what I feel about it. And you definitely do have to expose people who you think are real bad and what have you. But, you know, I'm starting to shy away from that idea altogether, really, because ultimately everybody who gets accused of being COINTELPRO, you just don't know. Have you seen their paycheck? No. But you've instead got theories about where they got their car or how they paid off their house and things like that. And you don't naturally leap to, oh, they actually work for a living and paid it off. No. That's not part of the deal. Just attack them, accuse. I don't like accusing people. I prefer to ask questions. Did you do this? Well, no, I didn't. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. As opposed to, you did this! No, I didn't. You're a liar! You see the difference here? You know, otherwise, you just fall out of trust with everybody, man. And really, 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 if somebody you don't trust or you're suspicious of, just stop giving them airtime. Stop promoting them. Stop talking about them because you're just not sure anymore. If you do think that somebody's clever or has some great insights or is worth supporting or worth others looking at, go ahead and promote them. Heck, you might wind up finding out that you're wrong at some point down the track, and in which case you do the honest thing. Admit that you were wrong and then stop promoting it. You know what I'm saying? There's an old saying, Mark Twain saying, says, when an honest man is confronted with the truth that he is wrong, he either ceases to be wrong or ceases to be honest. And that's the real problem that I feel that we've got in this movement all over the place, is that people aren't really prepared in a lot of cases to just admit that they're wrong. I'm wrong constantly. Constantly. In fact, if I wasn't constantly wrong, I wouldn't have any ability to admit anything or have any kind of humility. Jeepers creepers, is humility important? When you're talking about highbrow historical topics and scumbaggery and things of that nature, you've got to be crazy to think that you're always right about everything. Absolutely crazy. Just lost touch with reality. It's not a joke here. And I know that when I was a listener to radio shows and watching videos, I don't listen to too much radio or watch too many videos anymore because I'm too busy making my own. But when I was doing it, it was an obsession thing, okay? I was obsessed with the truth, just wanting to consume, you know, more knowledge, more wisdom, more information, more this, that, and the other. And then once you actually become part of these things that you were once only observing, then you start to realize that everything's different behind the scenes. Very, very different. Oh, my gosh. The complications, the nastiness, the accusations, the attacks and things like this, different people's backstories. It's nasty, man. This industry of conspiracy, and it is a fracking industry, because you don't have the ability to survive without support. Any industry that has no support of any kind fails. It's just that simple. This is why I don't have no problem with asking for donations. Am I going out and am I spreading BS and lies? No, not to my knowledge. I could be wrong. And if I do find out, because somebody said to me, actually, Vinny, here's the facts on this and such evidence. Okay, cool. Retract, apologize, do the honest and honorable thing. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? But I'm trying to do the right thing. There's more than I can say for a lot of people. And I'm trying to do as much as I can for the most amount of people. I remember one dude I was listening to. Wait. I got a message back from a Facebook ad, and most people, when they add a friend on Facebook, do you send a message to somebody who's just added you on Facebook, you know, if you're a radio show host or something like that? Most of them don't. I do, you know, at least I try to, just every person, just send them a little copy-paste message with a few links and a thank you very much for adding me and that kind of thing. And one dude says to me, you know, I would like a personal response. Dude, you're asking too much.
I don't know who you are. I have no idea.
Personal responses when you're doing goodness knows how many emails and Facebook friend ads and things like that per day become an impossibility. And I would overwhelm myself if I was trying to like personally address every single person who was following me. All right, it's just not possible. It's just not possible. And to try would be to overstress myself, and probably the quality of the show and all the stuff would go down, and everybody would be really concerned about why I'm ranting and going absolutely crazy and nuts, which I don't think is a good idea. If somebody wants to personally contact me, though, I'll try and actually give them a proper response. Just adding me on Facebook or something of that nature, if you're not actually really trying to address me or communicate with me properly, I mean, come on, mate. What do you expect? You know? And this is another thing. People have got this self-importance modulation. They think that because somebody's in a position on the radio or whatever, that suddenly, that so for some reason, they're infinitely more powerful and greater. We're just ordinary people. Ordinary people who are flawed, stupid, arrogant, suspicious, damaged goods people. All of us. I can assure you, every single person who you listen to on this network or any other is damaged goods, has had bad stuff happen to them, for which they have not yet recovered. My damaged goods story is employment. I actually have panic attacks for fear of being employed. I'm not kidding. So many bad experiences. Firstly, I was like number one salesperson, and then I kind of got disillusioned with it when I said, look, I can't just cold call people on the phones anymore, doing the telemarketing. Sure, I was really good at it, but I don't want to do it anymore, okay? I want to hang out my guns, as it were. And they're like, okay, sweet, we'll give you a promotion. We'll give you a business account manager. As a business account manager, I managed no accounts. And I was so disillusioned that I just couldn't be bothered, you know, even trying. And instead, I started to get to know a whole bunch of people around the company. And my God, did that company have a lot of things wrong with it. And I can't even tell you who it is. I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with it, how to improve their staff retention, how to improve their training protocols, how to increase output and profits and all of this kind of stuff. They didn't do nothing. They made me sign a piece of paper to never tell anybody these things that I know and gave me a couple of grand to frack off. And then the next job I went into, I was supposed to go out and start selling stuff to people, you know, with the telecommunications and all of that kind of stuff. Had to pay for my own gas, pay for my own phone. And at the end of the week, I was $60 in debt. $60 a week to work 40 hours a week. I was paying to work. Couldn't do that. And then the next job that I went to, some freaking psychopath scumbag was trying to bloody call me at, I don't know, 9:30 at night on a Friday to get up, get off the couch, you know, put down that beer and write down the name of a client to call on Monday. Couldn't handle that stuff. And never again will I be employed. I can guarantee. Unless the person is not a freaking scumbag. Unless I'm doing something that is right by humanity. That is my damage. I cannot work for no good reason. That's why I pour so many hours into this show. That's why I ask for your donations and support. Because I can't work. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a damaged and broken man trying to make good of these things that have happened to me. And this is just one example of the kind of stuff that goes through this movement in every single sector, every single host, every single website. We've all been disillusioned with the system at some point and have these things that we cannot tolerate, cannot do anymore. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And if you're still working and you're not helping with the truth movement, then support us. We're doing the work in your stead. We'll be right back.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us.
We're
conditions which frame and hold us our status of God's God. The world we knew is God.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to the New Zealand affiliates that have been kind enough to bring up the show. Yeah. Broadcasting this kind of content in New Zealand is very, very risky, I must say. And because, well, we've got a really small population base, okay? There's only 4 million people here, ladies and gentlemen. All right? Most US major cities have like 2-3 times that population or whatever. It's ridiculous how tiny this place is. And so to come out and try and earn a living in any industry in this country, you know, it's like icking out a carving on the face of a cliff. You know, many people are required to do it, and at the end of the day, you'll probably just fall off the cliff and accidentally die. So I want to thank Rush FM, who have recently expanded from Hamilton to now include Raglan, and I think they'll be expanding into Tauranga soon. Good on you, Roy. My man. My home boy, Roy. Speaking of Roy... I'll come into him in a minute. There's also Dagsy FM in Whangarei and Ifinity FM in Southland with Greg, who runs the show down there. And my other mate, Roy McDougall, and I really want people to listen very, very closely when I say this. You've heard of David Deese. You know, you've seen all those great pictures and things like that that are truther-oriented, great, incredible artistry that illustrates some of these things that we talk about every day, whether that be chemtrails or Monsanto or whatever. My mate Roy designed the uniforms for the New Zealand Olympic team. He designed the murals for the New Zealand Olympic Village when they went to London. He's that fracking good. And goodness knows how much time he spends turning little ideas in my head into incredible artworks. I'm so grateful to him, because if I wasn't able to put my ideas out and have them turned into reality, I don't know what I'd do. Roy, if you're listening to this, thank you so much, bro. Seriously. I want people now to go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show humor page. Just Google Vinnie Eastwood humor. That's the New Zealand spelling of humor. So it's H-U-M-O-U-R. H-U-M-O-U-R. Just Google Vinnie Eastwood humor. And you will see a ridiculous amount of such high quality, high res, awesome, And in some cases, just ridiculously funny pictures, like the one that I just uploaded this morning. And in fact, I uploaded like 20 of them last night. I just realized that, oh my God, I haven't updated this in such a long time. And there was already like, I don't know how many are on there now. But this morning I uploaded one called Weekend at Bernanke's. So I've got Barack Obama and Bernanke on either side of Uncle Sam, who's dead, with his sunglasses on, being propped up, like the movie Weekend at Bernie's. Brilliant. Freaking classic. It makes me laugh every single time I look at that thing. I really want people to actually go and enjoy this, because I understand that few people actually explore the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. The huge quantity of content that we're putting out every day means it's really impossible to listen to it all or watch it all or see it all, you know. But by golly and jingos and various other exclamations, there is so much content on that website that we've been working for, coming into the third year now.
you know, working really, really hard to provide stuff to make people laugh and to inform them and that kind of thing. But, mate, I can tell you, it's not getting as much traction as I would hope. And so I want to encourage people, go to that Vinnie Eastwood Show humor page, okay? Those images are classic. Turn them into your Facebook wall posts or whatever. Just go and enjoy it. That's all I'm asking. It ain't going to cost you nothing. Speaking of costing you nothing, I had a message from a listener down in New Zealand just today. He'd been trying to donate to the show. And guess what? When you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, the web browser has blocked it as some kind of a spam viral containing website. Unbelievable. I can't account for that. I haven't put no spam or no spyware or no nothing on it. I can theorize that perhaps I'm being censored because I'm telling the truth. Therefore, everybody should actually go there as often as humanly freaking possible, lest the scumbaggery elements within the world win. You know, I don't know. Everybody gets suspicious, and the first thing that occurs to them is, oh, I'm being censored. You know, for me, it's just like, I don't know. Don't really care. Censor me. Go ahead. Switch off the show. Go ahead. Makes no difference to me. I'm not doing this for the fame or the recognition or the money. Jeepers creepers. I could be getting acting gigs or doing movies or other stuff. You know, there's plenty of ways I could be famous and wealthy and that I could actually do than do this show. I can assure you, this show exists because it was given to me. And it's a responsibility. When somebody gives you something to do, especially if it's something important, like helping those who cannot help themselves by giving media coverage and prowess to those who don't have the technical skill required to host a radio show or produce YouTube videos or things like that, I mostly do it for other people. And through serving the truth community, I am rewarded through donations and subscriptions from listeners like you, which I very much appreciate. You know, there have been times when I've just, it all becomes overwhelming. And I'm just so eternally grateful that for the first time in my life, I can do something with my time that is good for this world, that is good for its people, and actually have people recognize me for it. That is really humbling. And I, you know, the words escape me sometimes to describe just how eternally grateful I am to all the support that we get at this show. It literally would not exist without you. I'm doing the legwork. I'm keeping the heat on and the lights burning and what have you. But really, it's all the people that are listening to the show that are of real value to me, not just monetarily. I understand that people don't agree with everything I say, and I sure hope that they continue to disagree with me until eternity comes. Because imagine if the horror of believing everything that a particular radio show host said. Imagine what kind of a dark path it would lead you down. Only God should be believed. And very few people get spoken to directly by God. Least of all, through the radio waves. So without humility and the admission that I'm probably wrong most of the time, goodness knows what kind of a monster that I'd become. And I don't think a lot of people get that. It's not because I doubt what I'm talking about or doubt what I'm doing. It's because I know the slippery slope between believing what you're doing and never receiving criticism or conjecture. It's a very, very horrible thing. I've seen it happen to many people. Hopefully that'll never happen to me. And I think because I've got an awareness of it and I really talk about it, I don't think it ever will. You know, people have got to be suspicious of themselves. Stop being suspicious of others. Really, start being suspicious of yourself. Am I being a douchebag? Am I misconstruing the truth in order to suit my purposes? Am I stealing advertisers from other people? Am I manipulating people behind the scenes? Am I stabbing my friends and colleagues in the back? In some cases, that's what people do. And because they don't question themselves, in that precise vein that I just mentioned, they continue to do it until they have some kind of a great fall. And I don't think that people have really grasped that concept of the most dangerous person you will ever encounter is yourself. Grow up, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean that in an insulting way, and I'm not saying that I'm grown up, but jeepers creepers, I'm trying to, and I think we all should. Take an analysis and a look at yourself sometimes and just think, am I really doing the right thing? We'll be right back at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com after the break.